I never did it because I thought it would be lucrative. I did it, it comes back to, you know, having a message, having something to say.
Welcome to the Journey to Paid Speaking Gigs podcast, where we focus on how to find your voice, develop your message, so that you can get consistently paid speaking gigs that generate income. Not only are you going to learn how to find your voice, but you're going to hear from professionals in the industry who are making a powerful impact, sharing their story and transforming lives. My name is Charles Clark. I'm an international speaker and ex-professional athlete. And I believe that everyone has a story to tell, but not too many people are telling it. And that's why I created this podcast, because I'm passionate about helping people break the silence, even if their voice shakes. And today's guest is going to give you the insight on how you can do just that. But before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to share with my tribe, those of you who've been looking to find your voice, develop your message, and get consistently paid speaking gigs, I'm putting on a free training that's going to share with you how to land paid speaking gigs. I want you to sign up for this free training at thecharlesclark.com/training. And in this training, here's what you're going to learn. You're going to learn how to secure consistently booked gigs using my speaker pipeline framework, the 6 core strategies to build a successful speaking career, how to establish a voice of influence, and how I went from speaking for free to making 6 figures without hiring a speakers bureau or agency. Head to thecharlesclark.com/training to get this free training on how to land paid speaking gigs. All right, let's get back to the show. What's up, Steve? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Charles. Good to see you.
Hey, so before we get started, let the Thrive Tribe know, who is Steve Farber?
Well, that is a very deep question, and one that I'm still trying to answer for myself, but thank you for asking. Well, on a professional level, I've been in the field of leadership development now for 30-some years. So, you know, I've been around the block a couple of times, I guess. Yeah. And I've written several books: The Radical Leap, The Radical Edge, Greater Than Yourself, Love Is Just Damn Good Business. I'm passionate about helping people to lead regardless of their position or title. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of work with big companies all the way down to entrepreneurial ventures. And I love my work. On a personal level, I'm a father of father and stepfather of 6 total. My claim to fame as a or maybe more it's claim to infamy as a parent is that I raised teenagers for 25 straight years. So I'm a little nuts.
you got it figured out by now, huh?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, but I did survive it, and I live in San Diego, right downtown, and I love my work. I love my life, and I have a great time every day.
Yeah. So how does it feel to be able to get on that stage and do what you do?
Well, it is one of my favorite things to do. So, you know, I'm in that fortunate position of having work that I would do even if I didn't get paid, but I get paid.
Yeah.
and it's I've been in some form or another, I've been in that speaker category it's actually been about 30 years now. And since 2000, I went off on my own. I was at a company called the Tom Peters Company for several years. I went off on my own, and I've been a keynote speaker ever since. And that has been my primary business for all these years.
So kind of walk me through that journey, because it's always interesting to hear other speakers' journey of like, hey, this is, I know this is my space to be. When did you realize that moment, or what was kind of like that journey that you went to evolve to say, I'm a leadership speaker?
Yeah, it really was a journey, and it was in some ways it was an evolutionary process. In other ways, it was kind of an immediate sort of a realization.
Yeah.
It started out in the training world. So I didn't start out as a, you know, so-called keynote speaker, main stage speaker, or whatever terminology we give it.
Yeah.
I started out doing, well, first of all, I started out as an entrepreneur. I was in the financial services industry. I learned a lot about business from a very young age. I had my own company before I was 30. And I went into the field of training and development, and I started teaching workshops. And one of the first workshops that I taught was for an international consulting company. It was a program called Putting People First. And it was a two-day, very intensely presenter-driven training program. And we would train, you know, big groups of people, 100-plus people at a time, which felt like a big group to me at the time.
Yeah.
And because it was so presenter-driven, it was like putting on, it was like doing a speech for 2 days, even though it was a, you know, quote unquote workshop.
Yeah.
And that's where I got a taste for, oh, I love this. I love, you know, telling the story and engaging people in that way. But the subject matter was just as important. It was all about building the right kind of culture. And this was back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Where we didn't really talk much about culture and leadership and all that, at least not overtly.
Yeah.
And that evolved into my focus on leadership in my professional work. So the speaking was one of the media that I used, but really my work has been about helping people to create cultures and enterprises and teams and organizations that people love being a part of and people love doing business with. Mm. And the speaking part of it was the let's just call it the delivery system. I mean, literally, yeah. It's delivering, yeah, a message, right?
So how important do you feel is story when you're talking about leadership? Because, you know, a lot of people lead by example, right? So what's the big essence of telling stories within your presentation that you give when you're on the stage?
It's, I'm tempted to say it's everything. It's not literally everything, but it's pretty close to everything. Yeah. It's all about the story. And, you know, because stories are a form of evidence. So when I'm delivering a message to you, in some ways, what I'm doing is I'm building a case. Because I really shouldn't be delivering a message unless there's some action that I want my audience to take,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there shouldn't be an action that I'm asking my audience to take unless there's something that I feel really strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want my audience to try something new, to engage in a new behavior, to adopt a new perspective, whatever it might be, to change their action in some way, then I have to give them evidence that doing that is going to be beneficial for them and the people around them.
Yeah.
And we tend to think of evidence as strictly a left brain kind of a thing, mm-hmm, giving the statistics and the numbers and the research and all that to support whatever message we have. And all that is true, and that is evidence, and that is important. Think of that as evidence for the head, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Stories are also evidence. It's just a different kind of evidence. It's evidence for the heart. A great story gives you not only an example of what it is that you're asking people to do, but it also it's got a moral to it. It's got a punchline. There's an outcome. So it's evidence that following this example will lead you to a particular result.
Yeah.
So that's what makes stories so powerful. That's why we human beings have been telling stories forever, literally. Yeah.
AD
forever.
Yeah, so true. I'm always interested to hear that big story of how you arrived to that moment of realizing that stories were essential part of transforming people's lives. Was there ever a story that you had that you told that allowed people to have that aha moment, or what was the case?
Oh, so many. There's so many examples of that.
Yeah.
The thing is that first of all, a great story. I know that a story of mine is effective because not only do I see, and anybody who tells stories will have a similar kind of experience. You see the result. you see the effect in the emotions. They laugh, they cry, when an audience does that, essentially what they're telling you is, I'm in this with you. Mm-hmm. I'm experiencing the story. I'm not just listening to a story. I'm experiencing it. It's had a journey effect on me.
Yeah.
So when those stories keep coming back, year after year, it's like, oh, I heard you speak 20 years ago. And you remember you told that story about that person who, well, I heard that story and it changed. I don't even know where to start, Charles. I have so many examples of that. And I don't need to convince anybody of that. We all know the power of stories, but there is one conversation that I had that really did stick with me. So I've had some incredible mentors in my professional life. Mm-hmm. I mentioned I spent some time at the Tom Peters Company. So Tom Peters is one of the most influential management thinkers of our day. His original claim to fame was a book called In Search of Excellence, which came out in the 80s. He's now just publishing his 19th book called Excellence Now. So he's still talking about excellence after all these years.
Excellence is crucial.
And he's the guy. I mean, he's the guy that started that whole conversation way back when. And it's story after story after story, example after example after example of how this company did it, how that company did it, how this leader did it, how that leader did it. Story, 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 story.
Yeah.
So when I went to work at the Tom Peters Company, the president of the company at the time is a guy named Jim Kouzes, who is one of the authors, the co-author with Barry Posner of the Leadership Challenge, which is one of the most significant bodies of work on leadership in the world. Mm-hmm. And he was actually the president of the Tom Peters Company. He's the guy who hired me there. And I remember that one of the first conversations I had with him, either while he was interviewing me or shortly after I got the job there, he said, you know what we do, Steve? He said, when you just kind of net it all out, we're storytellers. That's what he said to me. We are storytellers.
Yeah.
Our job is to paint the pictures of what's possible by telling other people's stories.
Yeah.
And that really stayed with me. And to say that that's not something that we do, or one of the tools that we use, that is, it's not something that we do. It is what we do.
Yeah.
We are storytellers.
It's the toolbox.
But it's more than the toolbox. It's actually because to me, a toolbox, you've got, so if it's one of the tools, then you've got story, you've got the written word, you've got technology, you have, all these, they're all tools.
Yeah.
What he was saying, and what I believe is true, although I haven't really thought it all the way through, mm-hmm. that is the thing. We really do tell stories. And great speakers get paid because they have a great message and they have a great impact.
Yeah.
And there's no way to have a great impact without telling a phenomenal story or a series of stories.
Yeah. Yeah. That allows people to create a transformation for themselves. I think that's the move, it's a tough thing to pivot from, especially, being in that pro athlete space. A lot of pro athletes, they tell their story, but what value does this really have to offer my audience? It might sound cool, but what about them? And I think people are always looking for, what about me? How is this going to help me? And so as speakers, when we can frame it in a way where we can take people on a journey of our story, or a story that we've went through, or someone shared with us that allows them to change, that's when you get book solid. Like, that's when you move from being part-time to full-time, or just having that title of being a speaker, but not really doing it as a profession.
Right. So that's a great point, Charles, because, from the keynote speaker perspective, you're getting paid to show up. And I mean, in some cases if you're an entertainer and your message is purely about entertainment, that's cool. That's fine. I'm a content speaker. So I get paid because, they're looking for a result. They're looking for, some level of inspiration that will get their audience to try some new things, mm-hmm. right? To be better leaders, et cetera. So a story is powerful, because it has a point, because there is something that you want people to do as a result of experiencing that story. So telling your own story is really an important part of this journey. And we're all interested in each other's stories.
Yeah.
And I think what holds people back is they think, well, my story is really not interesting. It's just my story.
Right.
But your story is interesting. Everybody's story is interesting.
Yeah.
The point is, though, that no story should be gratuitous. In other words, I'm not just going to tell you a story just because I want you to
laugh.
I want you to know more about it.
Yeah.
You know, just because I want to get you to laugh. Or
yeah.
I mean, sometimes that's called telling a joke, and that has its place too, right? Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to tell you a story, then I need to be really clear with my audience.
Yeah.
Why I'm telling you the story and what it is I would like you to get out of this. So for me, oftentimes what I'll do is I'll be really overt about that. In other words, I'll say, here's the point, you know, point ABC. Now, let me tell you, give you an example of what that could look like or what that might look like. And I might tell a story about myself or about one of my clients or about somebody that I've met that illustrates that. And then so here's why I'm going to tell you the story. Then I tell you the story. And then the punchline is, here's why I told you that story.
Yeah.
This is what I'd like you to do as a result of that. I mean, to be really that clear and overt.
Yeah.
So that way it's never like
a mystery.
You know, you don't want people like look at each other going like, what?
what was that?
Why the hell did he tell us that? why did she take us down that path?
Yeah.
Unless it's just for entertainment, then you know that's fine. But don't take people down a path unless you're telling them
why you're
walking down that way to
get. Yeah. Yeah, that's so important, especially when you're not that established speaker. You know, you got like 7 seconds before people look at you strange or go to their phones. They want to know where you're taking them, and they just don't want to know in your opener. They want to know every step of the way. Like, before I get on this bus, let me know what's going on. Where are we going with this thing? You've been listed as Inc's top 50 leadership and management experts in the world. I mean, I feel like that's a major responsibility, right? That's so cool to be mentioned amongst the greatest of them all. So, you know, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with holding a microphone and speaking and sharing your story that can change people's lives. What leadership advice would you give to a speaker who's just starting or they're up and coming?
Yeah. So as you can imagine, you know, when I travel around, In days that I actually travel, I actually have not been on a plane in a year now, which I know is not all that unusual for everybody. But I haven't left this damn chair in 12 months.
your bum's a little.
My ass has been asleep.
Booty prints on your chair.
So I spend a lot of time. You know, I do a lot of so-called keynotes on Zoom, et cetera.
Yeah.
But when I give live talks, it's not unusual for people to come to me afterwards and say, oh, I'd really love to do what you do. How do I do that?
Right, right.
And the question that I ask is, well, okay, well, what is it about what I do that you want to do? And if the answer is, oh, that just looks like so much fun, and you get to travel around and you meet great people and you get paid to do it, and that's all true.
Yeah.
But that's not the reason to start speaking. The reason to start speaking is because you have something to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is it that you want to say? What's the wisdom that you've acquired in your life? And by the way, it doesn't matter how young or old you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard great speakers who are still in their teens, and teenagers have wisdom. You know, I shared with you, I raised teenagers for a lot of years, and in some ways they're absolute idiots, but in other ways, and so are we all. And in other ways, they're genius, right? So it doesn't matter where, you know, how much experience you've had, you have some wisdom, which is your ability to look at your life experience and then extract the lessons for the rest of us.
Yeah.
And tell that story. So the first thing is, what do you want to say?
Yeah.
When you're clear on that and you can feel it, it's like, yes, that's really important to me. I need to get that out. The world needs to hear this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just start. And yeah. and if you're concerned about getting money to you want to make money being a keynote speaker, fantastic. But that's not typically where it starts.
Yeah.
Unless you're a celebrity first and then, you know, you're making that transition into it, then it's possible that you're starting with a price tag associated with your showing up. Yeah. But for the rest of us, it's just about, it's about getting up on stage. Any, you know, if you speak at your local Rotary clubs, you know, speak in your communities and do it for free. Just make sure that you video everything that you do, get mm-hmm. everything that you do on video. And that will help you to get better. It'll also help you to start to accumulate, you know, highlight segments that you can use for promotional materials.
Yeah.
But it all starts with the message.
Right.
First, what is it that you want to say?
Mm-hmm. So true. I think two things I can take from that. Message is so important. And the more you speak, the more you get paid. And that's the byproduct of it, you know. And I think we got to learn to prioritize. What's the most important thing? You know, is it me making the money, or is it me getting the impact that people need?
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you, I don't know. These aren't any great secrets. So I'll tell you, and not by way of bragging rights, because, you know, if we start doing that, then there's always people that earn a hell of a lot more money.
Right. There's always somebody making more.
I mean, you know, there's speakers out there, you know, celebrity types that get paid upwards of $250,000 for a speech.
Yeah.
Because they're a draw, and they get people, you know, people will come to an event to hear that person. But for guys like me, you know, I remember when I first started putting myself out there as a keynote speaker. I was still at the Tom Peters Company. I was the vice president there, so I was doing a lot of, you know, client work and all that. And I started doing a few speeches on leadership. And then, you know, I think I was charging $5,000 at first, and then $7,500, and I remember going through this thing. It was like, people are going to pay me what?
Yeah, right?
What? To do what? I'm going to show up and I'm going to talk for how long? And they're going to pay
30 minutes,
what?
60 minutes.
And it was, and it took a while to get my head around that. Right. Yeah. It's like, who shows up for, and then, you know, when I went out on my own, my fee was, I think, 10 grand or something like that. Mm-hmm. Who pays somebody 10,000 bucks to show up and speak for an hour? Well, a lot of people do. And in fact, that's not very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the years, my fee went up commensurate with my experience to some degree, and then just kind of leveled off. But, you know, it's you have to get yourself to a place that says, oh, there is a market for this.
Mm-hmm. Confidence.
And if I want to get paid 10,000 bucks to show up and speak, and I'm feeling like, but I'm not worth it, well, that's not for you to determine.
yeah
It's for your customer to determine. They're going to determine if you're worth that amount of money, but right. you won't find out until you get some experience under your belt, can keep an eye on the marketplace, see who's getting paid what to do what you do, and then the first time you get paid something that makes you go, holy crap, now you know you've arrived.
Yeah,
and
right.
You want to do that more and more.
Yeah, and I think that's when you truly honed your craft. Like, you show up different. Where at first it was showing up because, hey, this is something new and I'm just testing the waters. But then when you start showing up with excellence, you know, or when you start showing up with clarity, that's when things change, you know, for your speaking career. That's when you know, like, without a shadow of a doubt, this is where I'm supposed to be. So to get people to that place, I'm going to ask you just two quick questions. What are three things a speaker should never do, and why?
You should never step on a stage unprepared. There's this myth that says, you know, great speakers are spontaneous, which is true, but spontaneity is about just winging it, which is false. Spontaneity is not about winging it. Spontaneity is about being so prepared that your mind is freed up to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
So you
it's heart knowledge.
Yeah. That's, you got to have it in here, or have it on your backbone. Lots of different ways that we say it. So you know exactly what you're there to say. You know what your stories are going to be. You know the flow. And then something happens. You get a new thought, or somebody in the audience makes a comment and asks a question, takes you off on a new path, and you can be spontaneous.
Yeah.
And not only can you be spontaneous, but your spontaneity comes from the result of being present.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more important to an audience than feeling, knowing that, not just feeling like, but knowing that that speaker is completely focused on you, the audience.
Yeah.
And if I'm worried about what am I going to say, and do I have this, rehearse this, then I'm not paying attention to the audience. I'm stuck in my head worrying about what I'm going to say next.
Exactly.
So mistake, never, I don't remember how we framed this up. Always be prepared. Yeah. Well, how did you ask the question? What are things that speakers should never do?
Yeah, three things a speaker should never do and why.
Okay, so you should never show up unprepared.
Yeah.
Number two, in my, and you're going to get differences of opinion on this, never memorize your speech word for word. Because there are very few people that can deliver a memorized speech and have it sound natural. And this is one of the problems that I have with a lot of TED Talks that I hear, is that it's really obvious that the speaker is reciting
the speech
word for word. Now, that's not to say that I don't have things memorized. I have stories that I've told 1,000 times, and I will tell them almost identical each time. Is that memorized? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not from a script. And I've never, other than being in a play on stage back when I was in college, I've never memorized lines as a speaker. And I don't think anybody should. And like I said, you'll get differences of opinion on that, but instead it's about understanding, rehearse your stories, right? Get them down, practice. And understand the flow, and where you're going to go from, point A to point B to point C, and what's the journey you're taking people on.
Yeah.
But that's different from writing it all out, memorizing it, and then reciting your speech. And the third one is never do it just for the money. Listen, I think it would be disingenuous for me to say I don't love getting paid to speak. I do. It's my business, and I feel very very fortunate to have built it and got to the point where I get paid what I do now, which is, let's just say, more than $10,000. But I never did it because I thought it would be lucrative. I did it. It comes back to, having a message, having something to say, and then understanding that the money, is part of the business, right? Yeah. But it's a difference in motivation.
Yeah, yeah. So true.
So if I want to be a speaker to make a lot of money, then go to school and be an orthodontist. Go. There's lots of things you can do to make money. Be a venture capitalist. But if you're gonna when you step up on stage, you're taking up everybody's time, right? And if you're doing it for the flash, for the money, for the ego, for the attention, that will come across. And listen, there are people that have made a lot of money speaking who went into this business because they wanted to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But I feel like I can tell who they are from the stage. And if you're going to make a difference, then you should be doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to make a difference.
Yeah. I think to make a difference, lead with impact, right? That's the biggest thing that I carry with me. Put the impact first and the income.
What's your biggest, what's your biggest, the biggest mistake that you think people should avoid?
The biggest mistake I think people should avoid is not having clarity on what they're going to solve in people's lives. You know, I think that's a big tragedy, to have a great story but not have a great meaning for that story. That can be a big tragedy. And so it's our responsibility, like you said, to come ready, to come prepared, to come with intention. Because when you do that, everything just flows from you showing up correctly. Yeah.
Right on. So we're on the same page there.
Yeah, for 100%. 100%. Before we go, Steve, hey, where can the Thrive Tribe find you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. SteveFarber.com is kind of the hub. You'll find videos on there. And if you're, you know, as a speaker or aspiring speaker, I've got tons of videos on there. Lots of video clips from different venues. And what you'll find is, I'll give you a little kind of glimpse behind the scene. You know, the highlight reel is something that you'll get a lot of differences of opinion as to what a good, you know, they call it sizzle reel or highlight reel or promotional reel, whatever it is. Some people say it should never be longer than 3 minutes. Some people say it's all subjective. You'll find that mine is probably 20 minutes. So take a look at it. And just look at it as one possible way of doing things. So what I've done is I've taken a bunch of shorter video clips, put them all up on the website, and they're also on YouTube and all of that, along with the longer highlight reel. And that's the one thing that I will tell everybody, no matter where they are in their career or aspiring career, video everything that you do. Because you're going to see, when you look at my stuff, you're going to see venues that are phenomenal, right? You'll see venues where I'm speaking to 5,000 people, one venue I'm speaking to 25,000 people, and you know, it's great stage production and all that. They're not all like that, right? Sometimes I'm speaking to 100 people in the banquet room of the Holiday Inn. It's a very different kind of a vibe, but video everything. So you have the right, you know, the right clips to be able to pull out and show to the world. So SteveFarber.com is a place to look at all that and connect with me there. And you know, I'm pretty active on social media. So if you can remember my name, that's, you know, Steve Farber on Instagram, Steve Farber on LinkedIn, Steve Farber on Twitter, Steve Farber on Facebook.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, and you have a virtual event coming up, right?
I do. Yeah. So we have you know, my body of work is called Extreme Leadership. And we have a workshop called the Taking the Radical Leap and Extreme Leadership Workshop. And we certify people. We have about 100, and I think we're like 175 certified facilitators around the world right now. So if you want some great content to work with, if you want to get certified to facilitate this incredible leadership workshop, we have our next certification coming up. We're doing it virtually. In the days of the COVID, you know, it will be, the next one is, I'm looking for the dates here.
I think we got May 6th and 8th, May 6th to the 8th.
Right. Yeah. May 6th. 8th. Good job.
Come on.
May 6th, 7th and 8th via Zoom. And I'll be personally facilitating that along with my master facilitator. And it's really a tremendous thing. So yeah, come check that out.
Awesome. Hey, Steve, thanks for joining.
Thank you, Charles. It's been a real pleasure.
Hey, what's up, Tribe? I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, leave a review, because more people just like you who are looking to find a voice, develop their message, and get consistently paid speaking gigs, they're out there. And your voice, it matters. Your review, it matters. So I just want to thank you in advance for doing us a favor so that we can reach more people and impact people's lives. I'll catch you on the next episode. Peace.